fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin in London, where 2 days of Diamond League athletics produced many impressive performances, with African athletes well to the fore. The energetic Andy Edwards reports from trackside in London's Olympic Stadium.
In a wide range of glittering achievements, there was no finer sign than Emmanuel Correa running the fastest 800 in the world this year. 142.05 was a lifetime best for the Kenyan and the sixth fastest of all time. Correa left the highly promising American Clayton Murphy and Kenya's Commonwealth champion Wycliffe Kinyamal trailing.
For sure, you know, it was tough. You know, I had to push all the way from, you know, 200 because I knew there were some guys behind, like Gemus, Kinyamal, and those other guys, you know. Everyone is strong, so I knew I have to do a lot.
The weekend brought plenty to delight the track and field fan, with Sifan Hassan of the Netherlands running the third fastest women's mile ever to beat Ethiopia's Gudaf Sege and Helen Obiri of Kenya. But the latter did have the consolation of breaking the Kenyan record with 4 minutes 16.15. South Africa's world champion Luvo Manyonga continued his impressive consistency in the long jump, winning with 8 metres 58 for a meeting record. It was 12 months ago that Manyonga won the world title here, and he has next year's world championships in view.
It connects on straight way to my finals and also the world champ next year. I'm a defending champion, so I have to keep my consistent quite very good and also focus on the bigger goals.
The power of the USA's women's sprint hurdlers was on display as world record holder Kendra Harrison beat compatriot and Olympic champion Brianna McNeil in the fastest time in the world this year, 12.36. And that was despite clattering a hurdle which left Harrison nursing a wounded knee.
I think I hit a few hurdles. My knee's kind of hurting right now, but just to come here and run against such a competitive field and get the job done, it's right where my coach wants me.
Despite the late withdrawal of the USA's Christian Coleman because of a hamstring strain, the men's 100 proved a cracking race, won by his compatriot Ronnie Baker, who ran 9.90 in both heats and final on the first day. Baker believes everything is coming together for the peak of the season.
I do feel really good. I mean, the last three races I ran in Paris, Rabat, and now here in London, I felt amazing. I think that the biggest thing for me is I know I can go faster because of what my times say in practice, but you know, I'm kind of just trying to figure out the race. And once I put it together perfectly, the time's going to be crazy.
Talent from Jamaica continues to flow, and Akeem Bloomfield, runner-up in the U.S. Collegiate 400 meters, ran his fastest ever 200 with 19.81 for victory. Bloomfield credits the intensity of the Jamaican high school athletic system with his ability to handle pressure.
Jamaica is, I think it's the boiling pot for sprinting in the Caribbean, basically, you know. Growing up in the high school system in Jamaica with, you know, boys and girls champs, it's what really set the foundation for me to, be who I am as an athlete. I mean, competing in front of that huge crowd in Jamaica, it really gives you that energy, that vibe. And it also has taught me to handle myself in, like, big crowded, like, situations like this one.
There was certainly enough ability on show to prove that athletics can flourish in the post-Usain Bolt era. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We heard from world record holder Kendra Harrison in Andy's report. You can see an action-packed photo of Kendra and the other athletes clearing the hurdles in the women's 100 meters final in London at the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. The sporty photo was taken by Reuters photographer Andrew Boyers. And go to my Facebook page later in the show, a Facebook Live video with Prince Nesta. Facebook Live right here in Studio 22 at our Voice of America headquarters. Meanwhile, the energetic Andy Edwards also caught up with Sunette Viljoen at the Diamond League meet in London. Sunette won a silver medal 2 years ago in the women's javelin at the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Once again, here's Andy.
It's the Diamond League in London, and Sunette Viljoen of South Africa, the African record holder in the women's javelin, has just finished competing. Sunette, can you just take stock of today and also like to look at take a view overall of the season so far for you?
Yeah, I'm struggling a bit with my lower back, so it's not ideal. I'm throwing at this stage just with my heart and what I can do. Preparation-wise, I can't really throw to prepare for meetings because my lower back is still a little bit injured. But we're taking it meeting by meeting, and it's just good to be back on the track. It's not the distances that I want to throw, but you have to be realistic sometimes.
Is it something that has been a problem for you throughout the season?
It's throughout the season. It comes and goes. So it's getting better, then it comes back, getting better. So I just think it's from the amount of throwing for a long time. It's normal, and it's nothing that I'm worried about. It's not. My standards are very high, and to throw 60 is. On my off days, I throw 60, 61. So it's not what I want to do, but what can I do if I can just do so much with my body? Yeah.
Just lastly, I mean, would you continue to throw through the season? You think you can manage the injury to see out 2018?
Yeah, of course. I will see what... I think we have African Championships next weekend in Nigeria or the week after that. So I will keep fighting through it. It will come. I think I just need to throw amount of throwing, and as I said, it's difficult, but it's to still throw 60 with a back that's not 100%. It's still promising.
Sunette, thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Olympic silver medalist Sunette Viljoen of South Africa. Sunette mentioned how she's been struggling with some back problems. She finished sixth in the women's javelin in London with a distance of 60.34 meters. Liu Huihui of China finished first with a throw of 65.54 meters. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Italian golfer Francesco Molinari, who won the 147th British Open tournament at Carnoustie in Scotland. The 35-year-old Molinari became the first Italian man to win a major golf tournament, shooting an 8-under par 276. Talk to us, Francesco.
I felt really good this morning when I came here. I felt like I was ready for the challenge. Obviously conscious that it could have gone either way, but I knew I was gonna do my best today.
By doing his best, Francesco Molinari won a first place prize of $1,890,000. And his big paycheck and big trophy at Carnoustie in Scotland came 3 weeks after he won the Quicken Loans National Tournament right here in the Washington area. In Scotland, Molinari finished 2 shots ahead of a pack of 4 golfers. One of them was Irish star Rory McIlroy.
Anything under par out there today was a good score. I'm happy with how I played. I didn't get off to a great start, but I hung in there and I battled back and just sort of ran out of holes at the end.
Meanwhile, American star Tiger Woods was in contention for his 4th British Open title. Tiger finished 3 shots behind Francesco Molinari, his playing partner on Sunday, at 5-under par, 279. How'd you feel out there, Tiger?
I felt like I needed to keep building my way into this championship. It's one of those where... As I said earlier in the week, it's going to be about 10, 12 guys with a chance to win it on Sunday because we're all driving in the same areas. And it kind of turned out that way. There are a bunch of guys packed, a bunch of guys with a chance to win, and I was one of them.
American golf star Tiger Woods speaking at the 147th British Open at Carnoustie in Scotland. For our Voice of America listeners who are online right now, I encourage you to go to my Facebook page for a Facebook Live from Studio 22. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see my smiling face right here in Studio 22. Turning to motorsports, four-time Formula One champion Lewis Hamilton of Britain won Sunday's German Grand Prix in Hockenheim. Joining us now with more details is reporter Prince Nesta. Sporty Formula One greetings, Prince.
Sporty Formula One greetings, Sonny. Lewis Hamilton justified his new $50 million a year deal with Mercedes as he cruised to a stunning victory in dramatic fashion at the German Grand Prix on Sunday. The Briton demonstrated his remarkable skills in a race that was filled with drama, panic and heavy rains, taking advantage of his title rival Sebastian Vettel, who squandered a home ground advantage and an 8-point lead, crashing his Ferrari into a wall. Starting from a pole position and seemingly in control, Vettel misjudged a basic entry into a turn and slid over the gravel into the barrier with 15 laps to go. Hamilton's Mercedes teammate Valtteri Bottas finished second, with Ferrari's Kimi Raikkonen taking third.
Prince, heartbreaking indeed for Sebastian Vettel, squandering his home ground advantage and that Formula One lead. Is it over now for Vettel?
No, not really. Sonny, in my opinion, he has to go back to the drawing board because he has shown in previous races, like last year's race in Azerbaijan and also in Singapore, that he's prone to sometimes losing his cool, misjudgments and also worrying lapses of concentration. But with 10 races of the seesawing season still to go, Hamilton's 17-point lead right now is still a slender one. And if Vettel actually overcomes his over-eagerness, poor judgment and a lack of concentration, he can still win it. Anything can still happen at this point in time.
Prince, what do the Formula One standings look like now after the German Grand Prix?
Oh, Lewis Hamilton actually leads the standings right now with 188 points. He overtook Ferrari's Sebastian Vettel, who follows closely right now with 171 points, with another of his teammates, Kimi Raikkonen, third with 131 points. Mercedes' Valtteri Bottas comes in fourth with 122 points, while Red Bull's Daniel Ricciardo sums up the top five with 106 points.
Prince, when is the next race on the Formula One calendar?
This weekend, all roads leads to Hungary for the Hungarian Grand Prix. We shall keep you updated, of course, as far as the Hungarian Formula One drama, victory, and emotions are concerned right here on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Excellent. What about some international soccer news? I understand a German star making headlines, Prince.
Yeah, it's interesting. Arsenal midfielder Mesut Ozil has quit international football, citing what he calls racism and disrespect within German football. The 29-year-old Ozil has been a key piece of the German national team for years. He was criticized by the German Football Association and German media after being photographed with Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan at a London event in May, with the blames intensifying after Germany's disappointing World Cup. Ozil, who is of Turkish descent, said, and I quote, "I'm a German when we win, but I'm an immigrant when we lose. I used to wear the German shirt with such pride and excitement, but now I don't. I feel unwanted and think that what I've achieved since my international debut in 2009 has been forgotten." However, the German Football Association has rejected the Arsenal midfielder's racism claim, although admitting, and I quote, "We regret the departure of Mesut Ozil from the national team." That's it, Sonny. Back to you.
Prince, German football right now seems sort of embroiled in controversy after Russia 2018.
Absolutely. This is the wrong way to go about it, all right? Because any team can win and any team can lose in the World Cup. In fact, when the media or people in Germany start demonizing players, that's very bad, all right? Because it shows a bad picture. That's a very bad picture it shows. Anyone can win, anyone can lose. It wasn't Germany's time to win this time around, but who knows, next time you might need the same players you're demonizing this time around.
Thanks, Prince. Reporter Prince Nesta. The Prince talked about bad pictures. How about good pictures? Good pictures right here on Facebook Live out of Studio 22. Prince Nesta and the Sunny Man right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. You think this passion, this energy is phony? I've been doing it for 30 plus years. It's the real deal, sports fans. The real deal. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. The Confederation of African Football is conducting a two-day symposium in Morocco meant to review the 2018 World Cup after all five of the continent's sides failed to get over the first hurdle, being Russia. Egypt, Morocco, Tunisia, Nigeria, and Senegal were all eliminated in the group phase in Russia, leaving Africa without a representative in the knockout rounds for the first time since the 1982 finals in Spain. Coaches and officials of the five countries will discuss the disappointing results at a debrief in Rabat, organized by the Confederation of African Football and the Moroccan Football Federation. Portuguese football manager Carlos Queiroz, who is currently in charge of the Iran men's national football team, has declined an offer by the Egyptian Football Association to take charge of the Egypt national football team, the Pharaohs. According to a report, the 65-year-old has stated that he greatly respects the Pharaohs yet has no plan to take charge of any African team at the moment. Argentine football manager Hector Cooper recently parted company with the Egypt national football team after the Pharaohs miserably failed to earn a point in the 2018 FIFA World Cup group stage. Nigeria under-20 football team has qualified for the 2019 Africa under-20 Cup of Nations with an emphatic 5-0 win over Mauritania under-20, qualifying on a 6-1 goal aggregate. A brace from Nazifi Yahaya, including goals from Wasiu Alade, Okun Asuko, and Aremu Afiz, ensured that the Flying Eagles returned to the tournament after missing out of a chance to defend their title in the 2017 edition staged in Zambia. Elsewhere in Egypt, Egyptian football giant Zamalek will try to get Nigerian player Maruf Yusuf Egyptian citizenship to allow him to stay with the team, as they have reached the maximum number of foreign players allowed in their squad, which is capped at 4. According to a statement on the club's website on Sunday, Zamalek chairman Murtada Mansour is examining the possibility of starting procedures for Egyptian nationality in Yusuf's case. The Spanish Super Cup will be held outside Spain for the first time this year, after the RFEF confirmed plans to stage the match in Tangier in Morocco. La Liga and Copa del Rey champions Barcelona will take on Sevilla, the cup runners-up, in the traditional curtain raiser for the season. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more African football news, the former captain of Nigeria's national team, Segun Odegbami, has announced his intention to join the race for governor in Ogun State in the southwest of the country. The 65-year-old Odegbami is nicknamed Mathematical for his precise style of play and dribbling skills during his days as a striker, and the nickname also derives from Odegbami graduating from the Polytechnic in Ibadan, Nigeria, where he studied engineering. Reporter Iron Mike Mbonye called Abuja, where he reached Segun Mathematical Odegbami, and he asked him about his political ambitions.
Well, they are connected. You can actually not separate them. For as long as you are alive, you are either an active participant or you are a passive participant in the ongoing political arena. So if you have a vision and you want to effect change and you have promoted it for so long and you find that there isn't the political will to carry out this vision, then it is very clear that you need the political power to be able to do it yourself. And the dreams that I have had through the years are such that if implemented, they will bring about solid change for my people and my country. That's why I seek political power to be able to implement them.
Have you done enough consultation and have you chosen a party on the platform to fly this ambition?
Well, for the past couple of months, I have been consulting with people who are stakeholders in Nigeria as a whole, as a country. And for the past 12 years, I've been an active participant of the socio-cultural and political group in the southwest of Nigeria. So I think I have enough resources to go into a political game, as it were. And right now, because I will not find accessibility and acceptability within some of the major political parties, many of them embroiled in their own internal crisis at the moment, I have sought a party whose ideology and philosophy fit into my vision. And that's one that addresses the issue of grassroots and the middle class. Our people as a whole, their priority is the people. And that's what fits into my own vision. And that party is the Labour Party. So I am throwing my heart into the ring, as it were, under the platform of Labour Party.
What has been the response of the sporting fraternity to your ambition?
So far, because all I have done is the bits and pieces of kites that I have flown, either in my column or through a few media programs, like once on channel television. So I haven't really gone out, the fraternity as well, until yesterday when I did an introductory piece to my ambition and I pasted it on my social media platform. And since yesterday, it has been circulating like wildfire all over the place, and I received tremendous response from my friends in the media. But this is just the start. Tomorrow, we are going to have our first engagement with Labour Party in Ogun State, which is my constituency. And the event was supposed to be very small, but I hear that within the past 48 hours, it has escalated and may actually become a big rallying political forum. So I can't wait until tomorrow. After tomorrow, we will know where we are headed.
So the people of Ogun State, what would you tell them at this point about the ambition?
Two things. I have a great vision. I have a dream about an Ogun State that will be the safe place to live, to work, and to invest the whole of, wait for it, Africa. That's my dream for Ogun State within a very short space. And I will want to use the instrumentality and the power of sport, of leisure, of the entire entertainment sector, culture, arts, tourism, and so on and so forth, which is a passion of our youth, to drive this rapid development of that area, which will serve as a model for other states around Nigeria and make, in fact, Nigeria the epicenter of a new black civilization in the world. It is a huge dream, and all I'm doing, planning it, and within a very few years, we'll catch on. My Ogun State people will start to see the vision that I see, that amongst them, they have the people, they have the resources, they have the history, they have the culture, and they have the capacity to be able to plant this seed, nurture it, and see it grow within a very, very few years. The world is preparing for a new black consciousness and black civilization. And the World Cup that we just concluded, where you saw black people at the apex of that victory, is an indication of something that will happen to the black race. But we need to look deeper to be able to discover it. That's what I'm doing here.
That's Segun Mathematical Odegbami, the former captain of Nigeria's national football team, and Mathematical spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye from Abuja, Nigeria. And that wraps up the July 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Fostering economic development in sub-Saharan Africa is a top priority of the United States, and the African Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA, is the centerpiece of U.S. trade policy on the continent. The Trump administration places great importance on our relationship with Africa and sees genuine promise in the prospects for enhanced trade relationships with our partners, said Deputy Secretary of State John Sullivan. Speaking at the 17th annual AGOA Forum in Washington, D.C. in mid-July, Deputy Secretary Sullivan noted that the U.S. partnership with African countries is based on a number of strategic priorities. We work together to strengthen regional security, reinforce democratic governance, and increase trade and investment, he said.
We do all of these things because we understand that security and democratic institutions provide a stable foundation for economic growth and prosperity. At the same time, increased trade and investment are key to creating jobs and generating resources that strengthen security and democracy. When partners increase their capacity to confront real security challenges that we all face, we demonstrate how alliance building through economic cooperation promotes security.
Africa is the major market of the future, said Deputy Secretary Sullivan. Some of the world's fastest-growing economies call Africa home. We expect that over the next three decades, half of the world's population growth will occur in Africa. And that means a projected 1.2 billion new consumers will enter the African market, said Mr. Sullivan.
These trends, combined with Africa's growing youth population, will allow African countries to capitalize on a growing labor force. This great opportunity will come with challenges, however, including the need to provide jobs for this growing population. Expansion of trade and investment will be critical to meeting this challenge.
The United States applauds efforts such as the signing last March of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement framework because it advances another key component, regional integration. The United States stands ready to partner with African countries that are committed to reducing barriers to trade and investment, said Deputy Secretary Sullivan. In doing so, we hope to encourage policy reforms that increase openness and competitiveness within Africa and promote greater prosperity and higher living standards across the continent.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, host Shaka Sali broadcasts live from Harare, Zimbabwe, as voters prepare for the presidential election on July 30th. The Voice of America and the Zim Papers television network team up to present a presidential debate.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.